production remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.
The time now is 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. For Ken Gale, I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for October 29th, 2021. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said. Monday, November 1st, starts the oh-so-very-important COP26 Climate Conference. Young people are raising their voices to save their future. We'll have our guests introduce themselves. Matt?
Hi. My name is Matt Sultan. I'm the Environmental Action Associate at Hudson River.
Just a second, Matt. I need to mute you. Okay, go ahead.
Hi.
Matt, are you on?
Matt is not on the phone.
Okay. Matt should be on the phone. Oh, I just love these live broadcasts where we can have a few technical problems. Paul, why don't you introduce yourself first?
Yeah, So my name is Paul Presendue. I am the outreach manager for Sustainable Westchester, a nonprofit consortium for 44 local governments in Westchester County to address issues in climate resiliency and access to renewable energy. And I also am the current Global Goals Ambassador for the United Nations Foundation to support Sustainable Development Goal number 13, climate action.
We'll be talking about COP26. I think we should start by explaining, what is COP26?
So COP26 is the Conference of Parties, which is an international consortium for member states of the United Nations to come together and draft international goals for the protection of our shared natural resources. This is making sure that we're able to preserve our universal elements, such as access to clean air and clean water, and making sure we're able to curb our carbon emissions that have risen astronomically since the Industrial Revolution.
Wow, it sounds like a tall order.
It is a tall order. That's why it's important that we all come together as a heterogeneous mix of different cultural backgrounds and different socioeconomic levels to make sure that we're able to address these issues for the protection of our shared resources.
And with our orientation being youth and COP26, because you're going to be living through climate change longer than anybody older than you, how are youth trying to get their attention, since old people tend to ignore young people?
Yeah. So there's two different levels. One, the youth advocacy movement has picked up on an international stage thanks to the advocacy of people such as Greta Thunberg, Vanessa Nakate, and also Alexandra Villaseñor. I think now the conversation is, how do we make sure that they are being equitably represented within environmental conversations? Making sure that we have youth representation among sessions of parliament for public sessions, as well as ensuring that we're able to represent them on levels of government in regards to environmental advisory boards. I recently, last week, during the New York State Association of Conservation Commission's meeting, met with a young 11th grader named Riley, who's actually on the Town Ridge Conservation Advisory Board, and she was in the 8th grade. And I think what she's doing is really trailblazing the fact that young people can be part of the systematic reform for the preservation of our natural resources if they're given a chance to be able to serve as junior members of their local conservation board.
Exciting. I think we have Matt on the phone now from Clearwater. Matt, say hi.
Yep.
Hi.
You were introducing yourself when things fell apart.
Yeah. Sure. I'm Matt Solon. I'm the Environmental Action Associate at Hudson River Clearwater.
And what is your hope with COP26?
My hope for COP26 is that it sort of works to inspire people to take action, to get involved, to actually see us transition to a clean energy economy, and to work through local governments to contact their elected officials so we can get to that zero emissions that we are working toward.
You optimistic?
I'm very optimistic, not because of some of the proposals that we are seeing right now in the budget reconciliation process, but I think the public address of the event and the goals that will come out of it will work to inspire the grassroots to sort of focus their attention on what we need to do.
Paul, same question.
Yeah, I think it's really about us. We need to have a sense of urgency with the clean energy transition. If you look at the last IPCC report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we have no time left. There has to be a sense of urgency because we're going to continuously see these extremities in our weather pattern. We recently just had a lot of property damage that occurred from Hurricane Ida, something that really wrecked our country on the southern shoreline in terms of the southern coast of the United States of America. But we had a devastating impact within our communities here in Westchester County and also New York City. So I am praying that during this next COP conference, that we are making sure that we take these challenges very seriously. Otherwise, ramifications, both economically and socially, will be something that I don't think we could be able to overcome. The planet Earth will always be here. It's just about us being able to be able to have it, to be able to live on it.
Yeah, Lakota Elder John Trudell said, "We cannot destroy the Earth, only our ability to live on it."
Yes.
And,
we're too good a job at that, I fear.
We've gotten a lot of emails from people who are optimistic about it and pessimistic about it. They point to previous COPs saying that we're still going down the same horrible direction. What is going to make this one different, Matt?
Yeah, not so much about what's going on at COP, but the fact that it is happening, I think, has already sparked some successes. The commissioner of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, Basil Segos, when he announced that the DEC was opposing the permit to build the new Dan Scammer facility north of Newburgh, which would have burned frack gas, he cited COP26 as a reason. And he said, we need to get serious about climate change, and we need to actually, you know, meet the goals that were laid out in the CLCPA. So he did it in accordance with COP26 to make the statement that New York is going to lead the way, even if some people aren't going to follow.
Such a huge victory, Matt. So all of the allies that were involved in that, such a huge victory. It's really a turning point.
Today's AM paper also said another victory. A plant in Queens didn't get its permit.
Yeah. The Astoria plant was also up for the same permitting, and both of them got turned down.
Excellent. Level Sally?
Have been a bit, you know, delayed and so forth, but I heard someone say, you know, everybody says, why should we do it if China doesn't, if India doesn't? It's like, aren't we supposed to be leaders? Don't we want to be the ones who are leading the way? It's like, yeah, that's such a refreshing attitude. When do we lose that?
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of something that was said by a Spanish representative to a green and blue conference. Labor and environmental had a joint conference. And somebody from Spain said that they had the same excuse. Why should we do anything about climate change and our emissions when the United States puts out so much? And people in the Green Party going, you do it because it's the right thing to do. And when they started doing that, they ended up, instead of sending their jobs to Texas and the Middle East, they had jobs at home. So suddenly there was more employment in Spain. Their emissions went down. So their health care costs went down. It was a multi-win situation simply by doing the right thing. And every country could have the same multi-win situation by doing the right thing. That wasn't meant to be a final word.
There's so much to say. It's like, where do we stop? Where do we continue? I just love the forward-thinking conversation that we're having here, talking about opportunities. What are the opportunities for youth engagement in this? What do you hope to see out of from the youth in this COP26 era? Paul?
So I'm hoping that there's going to be more of a transparency about ways that young people can get involved in the United Nations dialogue of addressing climate change. I'm a strong advocate for the United Nations Association, which was actually founded before the signing of the United Nations Charter. And it is important that people are able to become more active as civil members, members of the United Nations Civil Society, be able to access resources for the World Federation of United Nations, and be able to engage diplomats or representatives of the UN for respective international communities. And then also kind of engaging some of the or international organizations that are affiliated with the UN, such as the environmental program for the UN has a major working group on children and youth, which will open doors for young people in Westchester County to enter into dialogues with people that are in Asia, people that are in Africa, people that are living in the communities at the forefront of climate change, and then also making sure that people are aware of the United Nations Sustainable Development Solutions Network, which will allow academic institutions or municipalities to kind of figure out what other municipalities or organizations are doing to combat climate change, to implement programming without having to reinvent the wheel. This is very important that we have this sense of urgency by implementing programming that is being backed by some of the greatest scientific minds on planet Earth.
Globally and act locally, and hey, check out what the neighbors are doing and the more distant neighbors and see how they can adapt them.
How can people act to combat the climate crisis? What's needed, Matt?
Yeah, so I think an easy thing that people can do that doesn't require you to be an expert on the issues, that doesn't require you to be a seasoned activist, it's very simple, and that is you can go out and vote. In the state of New York, across this state, right now, people are voting through early voting, and on November 2nd, people will be voting for the Green Amendment. It's Prop 2 on the back of your ballot, and it will etch the simple yet eloquent phrase that each person shall have a right to clean air and water and a healthful environment into our state Bill of Rights. And having this in our state constitution signals to the people of New York that the state of New York takes their environmental health seriously, because if we don't have clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and safe food to eat, then we don't have anything.
How do we vote for that?
So it's on the ballot. You turn it around, and there are 5 statewide ballot proposals. It's number 2.
And I must say, that's in New York. And if you don't have this on your ballot in your state, please, this is something that you can advocate for.
Yes.
Get it on, find out what New York is doing and get it on your ballot, on your state constitution, wherever you are, because we know that not only New York listens to our broadcast.
New Jersey has the bill in the state legislature. It didn't get passed in time to get on the ballot this year. So we're hoping that it will by next year. So lead the way, New York. Get New Jerseyans to follow you on this one, because it's important.
It's called the Green Amendment. We did a show about it a couple months ago, and apparently quite a few states already have it. So it's not like the politicians are going to be scared that they're being leaders, but they can certainly be leaders in this area. In the Northeast area.
And there will be a link on our website to where Matt is giving a brilliant explanation of a green amendment. That was a great video, Matt. You'll all have to tune into our website to see it.
Are there actions in this country while COP is going on that people can follow?
So one thing I would mention is that the United Nations Foundation is going to be tracking the events for the COP26 process. I could share a link for everybody so that you could be able to be aware of the calendar events. There are going to be numerous sessions that are going to be accessible remotely so that people could be raised awareness on. And I think it's also very important that people, I guess, get involved in local programming for in the environmental community. It is, like, as you said on the show before, it is local leadership that's going to help us address this global issue. So by us being able to really access the resource that we have available to us, United States of America, that's not available in a country like Bangladesh or Senegal or the Philippines, we could really set that global stage and show how we could combat climate change. We have a lot of programs here in Westchester County about energy efficiency, the ways that you could reduce your carbon footprint, reduce your ecological footprint, through the lens of economic prosperity, And by us taking advantage of these rebates that are now available in New York State, it's going to allow us not only to have a national presence to be able to support a state like New Jersey, but an international presence so we can support the international sequestration of carbon out of our atmosphere.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in complete agreement with everything Paul just said. Getting involved with your local towns and boards and villages might not seem sexy, way to evolve, but it's how we're going to get it done.
Is having an event on November 10th, I think, in Newark, regarding one of the projects there that they're trying to, you know, the powers that be are trying to push through, and the people are saying enough with the pollution.
And I want to tell a story from when I was in my 20s, when people said that, oh, we'll never accomplish what we were trying to do. And we did it anyway. And so anybody who's thinking that Paul and Matt can't succeed, oh, yeah, they can. And they will.
As usual, the time flies, and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us, everybody. Matt Salton can be contacted at matt@clearwater.org and go to www.clearwater.org. Paul Presendue can be contacted at paul@sustainablewestchester.org. That's https sustainablewestchester.org.
Today is the 9th anniversary of Superstorm Sandy's landfall. Our website has Ken Gale's eyewitness account of watching the storm surge from the old WBAI Street Studio, Wall Street Studio. At noon today, a group gathered at the Brooklyn Bridge calling on us to remember Sandy and defund climate chaos and march to the Federal Reserve and Citibank headquarters. And I was just off a Zoom call with New Jersey Organizing Project doing their anniversary. And right now, Sunrise NYU, a youth-led movement, is marching from Bryant Park to J.P. Morgan headquarters, bringing their demands right to the front door of one of the biggest funders of climate disaster.
Tired of broken promises, on October 20th, Sunrise climate activists started a hunger strike outside the White House. Their demands include a civilian climate corps, clean energy performance program, and funding for environmental justice. So important.
In 2 weeks, on Friday, November 12th, COP26 concludes. We bring you the recap and what the future holds from all that talk. Tune in at 2:30 p.m. on Friday, November 12th.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is the most important role for Ecologic and for WBAI-FM.
To get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as fossil fuel treaty events, and to listen to this show again and any of our past shows, go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI. Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next. You get a big list. Or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to be a WBAI member or a BAI buddy.
And, of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
Show your love and help us stay on the air.
It's a win-win. And thanks again, Paul and Matt, for joining us on Ecologic.
There is an environmental referendum on the New York State ballot. Please vote. Early voting has already started, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 2nd. Voting really is so important.
To our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson, we couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us in 2 weeks, November 12th at 2:30 p.m. for our follow-up on Report report on COP26. Thanks so much, Matt Sultan and Paul Prestigew.
WPFW Washington and WBI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. The Department of Justice announced that it would dedicate $21 million to hate crime investigations and prosecutions. In a press release, the DOJ said the funding would help address a rise in crimes, quote, committed on the basis of race, color, national origin, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, or disability. A portion of the money would be available as grants to state and local governments for training and technical assistance. $1.5 million will be spent on solving cold case civil rights murders under the Emmett Till Unsolved Civil Rights Crimes Reauthorization Act of 2016. In response to weeks of student protests at Howard University and solidarity from the NAACP of Washington and other national attention, the school administration has announced a new policy of hypercare concerning the health and cleanliness in student housing. A statement released by the Vice President of Student Affairs and the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer detailed the university's response. Wellness checks, wipe downs of all rooms, deep and daily cleaning, assigning a vice president and dean to each resident hall to conduct daily visits and present in case students have unmet needs that have to be escalated. Training residents to identify and report fungal growth and check-ins with students who have reported signs of mold, mildew, or other problems. Students took over Blackburn Center October 12th to protest housing conditions and their lack of representation on the Board of Trustees. Leaders of the NAACP have sent a letter to the players' associations in five professional sports asking players to reconsider signing with teams in Texas because of recent laws passed in the state. In a letter signed by NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson that was sent to the MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, and WNBA Players Associations, the organization pointed to recent laws on abortion, voting rights, and mask mandates during the coronavirus pandemic as reasons to avoid joining teams in Texas. The NAACP called the Texas laws, quote, a blueprint by legislators to violate constitutional rights for all, and it asked free agents reconsider moving their families to a state that is not safe for anyone, end quote. Wages jumped in the 3 months ending in September by the most on record dating back 20 years, an illustration of the growing ability of workers to demand higher pay from companies that are desperate to fill near record number of pay available jobs. Pay increased 1.5% in the third quarter. That's up sharply 0.9% in the previous quarter. The value of benefits rose 0.9% in the July-September quarter, more than double the preceding 3 months. Workers have gained the upper hand in the job market for the first time in at least two decades, and they are commanding higher pay, more benefits, and other perks like flexible work hours. Political tensions in Florida are heating up. The state withheld funding from two school districts over mask mandates they imposed, docking pay for school board members, and preventing federal grant money from reaching the schools. The move comes despite warnings from the White House that such penalties would violate federal law. Alachua County Superintendent Carly Simon said she was appalled by the state action and said 75% of the money withheld is not board member salaries, but rather funding intended to support students. Currently in the DMV, it's raining, in some places heavy rain, and 57 degrees. In New York, it's cloudy and